Hello everyone, welcome to the second episode of the podcast Finding Turiya. I'm your host Anirudh here, and along with me is my friend Ramana. Today we will be discussing about the zodiac signs and the different Purusharthas. We will be looking at it in terms of conceptual models, how they work at a certain psychological level, and that would be a topic of discussion. Thanks a lot for all the feedback from the first episode, for all those who have given it to me. I will be mentioning my email ID in the future from now on. It's anirudh.n@gmail.com. And thanks a lot, Ramana, for having come, and let's start the session right now.
Yes, let's get on to it.
Okay.
First, so what do you have for us today, Anirudh?
As I mentioned, Ramana, we will be looking at the Purusharthas and the zodiac signs. Now, first we come to what are Purusharthas. Purushartha, Purusha, man, Artha, goals, okay, of life. So, Purushartha is the combination of these two words which speak about the different goals of what a man or a human should lead, how they should lead life. There are four Purusharthas which have been mentioned in the various scriptures: Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Now, in astrology, the 12 zodiac signs have also been divided into Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. The 12 zodiac signs, as we know, starting from Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. They've all been divided into four parts of three Rashis each. Rashi means, again, zodiac sign in Sanskrit. I will be interchanging between my terminologies between Sanskrit and English. I'll try to stick to English as far as possible. And the concepts, of course, are being explained in Sanskrit. Since Purusharthas is Sanskrit, the words are also in Sanskrit. So there definitely will be some Sanskrit references as we go further into the podcast. We start with the first Purushartha, Dharma. Dharma has many meanings. Now, that is, it's considered to be one of the intranslatables from Sanskrit to any other language. It's of course used in Buddhist as well as in Hindu religion extensively. Dhamma, or they call it in Buddhism. Dharma means many things. Some look at it as ethics, a sort of guideline, etc. We will come to that meaning in the later podcast. Some look at it as cosmic order, rhythm. They've seen Dharma as like that. But Dharma fundamentally is something which upholds the world. Dhr, the root word for Dharma, dhr is to uphold. So the word Dharma comes from something which upholds the world. And that is the meaning in which we'll be looking at it. In an astrological sense, it refers to fire. Fire is something within, right? It's like the spirit within which is coming out. The fire signs in the zodiac are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And these are considered to be the Dharma Trikona. I'm using a Sanskrit word Trikona. Three is three in English as well. And Kona is corners. So the three corners of the zodiac, the Dharma corners of the zodiac, are these three Rashis as mentioned before. And each of them have different properties. They refer to different levels of Dharma, if you will. Now, again, I'm using this in a very controversial way of Dharma in different levels, etc. Dharma is typically considered to be either contextual Dharma or Dharma which has been handed down over generations, etc. Coming to this Dharma as seen in astrology, so I'm making this very clear distinction. Dharma might be interpreted in different ways. I'm looking at it purely from an astrological sense. Okay. Aries is considered the first sign of the house, the spirit of initiation, the fire within. So Dharma Trikona in astrology refers to all the inner fire which is within us. And Aries is the first house. Its lord, is it? Is Mars. We're getting into the planets slowly. I will briefly mention about the planets. And Mars is considered to be something which initiates fire, etc. So the fiery initiative taken by us is Aries. Independent initiative is all about Aries, and that is one level of the Dharma Trikona, independent initiative.
So, Anirudh, before you get further into each of the zodiac signs in itself, doubt that I had was that I typically associated all these, the 12 zodiac signs as a Western concept, this concept of sun signs, as essentially a Western astrology-based concept. Now, do the Indian astrology guys also use the same 12 zodiac signs as the base? And why, I mean, is that it? As in, are all the 12 signs sufficient for understanding of the astrological lens, be it in the Indian context or the Western context?
Okay. Good question, Ramana. Yes, the Indians also use the 12 zodiac signs as used in the Western system. There appears to be a common to and fro. Historically, okay, this is based on written history, suggests that it was first used in Babylon. And later, there have been interactions between Indian and Greek scholars in the notion of astrology. Who started what first? That I do not know beyond a certain point. Okay, where did it begin? We don't know, but the zodiac signs are common. Where Indian and Western astrology differs is in terms of space and the coordinates of the zodiac. They differ in how it is measured vis-a-vis Earth. That is a pretty technical area which we shall not get into further. But for the limited question of the answer, yes, both astrologies use the 12 zodiac signs. Okay, so we've covered the first of the Dharma Trikona, which is individual initiation, individual action, which is Aries. We next come to Leo, which is ruled by the sun. It's all about inspiration. It's all about individuality. It's about authority. It is about uniqueness. You could call it, even in an Indian context, acting out of your ahankar. The strongest resonance of the word ahankar will come from Leo, because Leo is all about that. What does the ego do? Slightly philosophical tangent, but what does an ego do? It gives us a sense of self and identity, right? It makes us think that, you know, suppose you're Ramana Krishna or I'm Aniruddhen. It's everything which keeps all of these body parts all together. Again, Ramana, I don't know if you've come across the ship of Theseus argument, where if all the parts are replaced in a ship, if a ship is still the same or not.
Right.
If you were to look at it one way, our body cells have completely changed from the time we are born, right? Our thoughts have changed, our impressions have changed, yet we still feel our identities are same, right? And this is what we would call the ego. And the Leo and Ahamkar, the strongest resonances come from Leo. And it is our individuality which makes us think of it in terms of Leo. So the Ahamkar is considered to be Leo. So individuality would be the word for Leo. We finally come to the last of the Dharma Trikona, which is Sagittarius. We come to certain concepts of Indian philosophy here, where when we talk, if you remember, Ramana, last session we spoke of something called an Asmita and Avidya. We had spoken of this. I'm not sure if you would remember.
Right.
But we had spoken these of Kleshas, or the beginning of creation. What it says is, once creation is started, there is something called the individual spirit, which comes out through our ego, our individual identity, the Atman, the Jivatman, if you will. Okay. Jiva Atman, again, Sanskrit word. Jiva is life. Atman is spirit. So, Jiva, man, human, living being. Okay. And spirit. So, living being, spirit. Vis-a-vis compared to something called the cosmic spirit. Okay. Which is called as Ishvara or other names by certain philosophical schools. I'm getting a little abstruse. I'll come back to this. This Sagittarius is considered to be the cosmic spirit as it acts in the world. Okay. If Leo, I told you, was individuality, and it is the individual spirit or the Jivatman which acts in the world, Sagittarius is the cosmic spirit as it acts in the world. Now, wow, what does this cosmic spirit do? How does it act? Those are, yes, we come to the Indian word. If you've come across in the Vedas, there's this word called Ritam, which is that it upholds the world. This cosmic spirit is considered to be something which upholds the world. Dharma, that's why we pray to God. Why do we pray to God? Okay, we pray to God because we believe that in an interaction between man and God, it is God who is upholding the world and sustaining the world as it is. That's why it's called as dharma. Okay. So I don't, Ramana, is that fine? Shall we move on to the next Purusharta?
Yeah, but if you can just, so Leo, like you said, was signifying ahankara or ego, right? Now, what does it translate to in the sense that if I'm a person born in the Leo sun sign, does that mean that I would have a greater dominance of the ego within me? Is that what it translates to, or how does it translate to in this context?
Okay, sun sign is important. Okay, we're going into more technicalities here. Yes, sun sign is important. Ascendant or something is called important. That is, it's a coordinate, a birth coordinate called ascendant is important. So all this indicates is, yes, you're more likely to be within yourself, you know, very, see, what does an ego do? It says that I'm the only reality. There's no reality outside me, right? Right. You're focused on your individual identity when you're acting out of your ego. Okay. So someone who has prominent planets in Leo is likely to be someone who just is focused within, not in the inner sense, but I am, that's all. Okay. They act out of the I predominantly.
Okay. So how to interpret this then is, if I understand it correctly, that at the time of our birth, there are different planets that are there, are spread across these 12 sun signs. I mean, the positions of the planets are in the different sun signs. And depending on which is the one more dominant, correspondingly, your traits would have dominance of those features. Would that be right?
Dominance, is it? Okay, you're using the word dominance. I think...
Or at least it is predicated, or at least if the word dominance is too strong, maybe the point is that depending on the position of the planets, which planets are more in which sun sign, that's what determines, or that's what at least indicates the prevalence of certain features within you. Would that be the correct interpretation?
I understand where you're coming from. You're basically saying that the positional significance, right, of the different planets directly indicates the trait of a person.
Correct.
I would put it in a slightly more interactive manner. I'm saying that you could argue in a very Buddhist sense, okay, that what is the I, or how do we act? Do we act out of something within us which is integrating and putting it together, or are we just a sum of interactions of all different forces within us? Okay, so we'll come back to this. And what I'm saying is, there are different ways of viewing this, Ramana. Each person would operate at a different way, if you will. Okay, but yes, the planet, absolute planet positions do matter. But we are also very layered, right? Each level of consciousness within us, there are so many aspects of it. So do we act in the same way in our workplace as we act at home? Do we act in the same way in our relationships as we act with our parents? Okay, they're very different, right? So it's a lot more nuanced than that, is what I would put you in detail. But yes, definitely you could argue that it goes deeper. Yes, the geometrical position.
Where I was coming from was because we come across these things, right? That XYZ sun. I mean, basically the newspaper horoscopes that are there. Someone born in Libra is XYZ. I see that your analysis is quite different from that analysis, and that's what I wanted to bring up or understand a bit more.
Okay, I would say that is somewhat generic. I use probability to understand it. So if that, maybe you'll have to start putting percentages to see how much each percentage represents. Okay, there is a trade-off, right, between going deeper and looking at in terms of, let's put it this, if you have to go only by the zodiac sign, it essentially means that 1 in 12 people will have the same type of life or will experience the same kind of day.
Correct. Which is the problem? I don't think that premise is correct.
Agreed. But do you say it is completely untrue at all? Okay, that I don't know. I've not tested that enough. I go for a more personalized approach. I think that this 1 in 12 probability is a little too, it is too, it's not differentiated. It is too gross. It is too, it's not a proper metric for analysis is how I would put it. It doesn't give richness in terms of when you're analyzing a person. I think every person is unique in their own way and their individual traits, characters, etc. It's a more, much more complex. We are a much more richer and complex set of people. Okay, so that's where I come from. And there might be some truth. Let's say if we have a 100% mood, if out of say 100, our mood might be influenced because of our sun sign by say 10% of it. Okay,
right.
Be 10, 20. I'm just throwing up random numbers, honestly, because I don't think this has ever been measured. I don't know if this can be measured also. Okay.
Right.
So maybe there could be some influence. I'm not ruling it out. I personally haven't come across it as much. Okay, but there could be some influence. I mean, I'm not willing to discard something which I've not tested sufficiently enough.
Right. So fair. That's a good enough deviation. Now let's come back to where you were originally planning to take us. So yeah, you had talked about Leo, Aries and Sagittarius.
Yeah. So that is the Dharma. Next, we come to Artha. Artha is striving, goals, differentiation. Okay. All of this comes in. We have three, it's connected with the planet Earth. So it is the most manifest material of all the signs. Okay. We have three different Rashis, if you will, or zodiac signs which come under this Artha Trikona or the Earth triangle. We have Taurus, we have Virgo, and we have Capricorn. Taurus is the sign of your family lineage, your birth, your wealth, your assets, fixed assets, if you will. All of that come under Taurus. Your appearance, your voice, speech, all of that comes under Taurus. In terms of material outcome, right, it's the body sense. What gives you pleasure, what does not give you pleasure? Okay. It is a very, it's very instinctive, right? I mean, some things we like, some things which we don't like. We had spoken of Raga Dvesha in the previous lecture in terms of Kleshas, right? Now, Taurus is something which is very intimately connected with Raga Dvesha. Okay.
And, if you can just help recall Raga Dvesha, I recall the term, but I do, if you can just explain that briefly again.
Raga refers to things which give us pleasure. Dvesha refers to things which we look to avoid. Okay. So basically the pleasure pain principle, Ramana, hedonism or whatever you call it, is typically dealt by Taurus. Okay.
Right.
Or in a very generic astrological sense, the second house. But since we're talking about Artha Trikona, the Taurus deals with the pleasure principle. Okay. The aesthetic sense also. Look, everybody can't appreciate all types of art, right? There is a certain... We have different classes in society, which is more interesting. We have different ways, different people appreciate different forms of art, right? All of these distinctions and all come in because of Taurus is ruled by Venus or Shukra. Okay, all of these distinctions in living creatures, all of that comes in because of this Shukra, this Taurus. All of that is now coming in because of this. We next go to Virgo, Kanya. Virgo is logical argumentation, viewing things from in terms of opposites, either or decision making, all of this is considered to be part of Mercury. Okay. It is something which helps us decide, it's something which helps us rationalize. Essentially, what you're doing is you're cutting, right? Anything you want to perceive or when you want not perceive, anything when you want to logically discriminate. The very act of discrimination means you're logically cutting something out. Okay. And that is an operation of Virgo or Kanya where you're saying you're excluding some things from your argument. Okay. That exclusion, all of that comes in from Virgo. In a more generic sense, it's also used for diseases, healing, etc. So any people who are interested in looking at diseases or how you analyze something, okay. Things which are foreign to the body, right? Germs are essentially foreign to the body, right? Okay. So all of things which are foreign or outside the body, or things which are excluded from the body, all of that has to be analyzed from Virgo or the sixth house. Okay. We finally come to the last Artha Trikona Rashi, which is Capricorn. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. It is all about your status in society. It's all about striving, putting in efforts, building structures, making systems. All of that comes into Capricorn. Now, all of matter, right? Now, why does thing work? Why does matter remain stable? All of the energy is locked into it in such a manner, and all of our energy is to make sure that there is stability within the system. Okay. And yeah, that is why we come to, that's where we complete the Artha Trikona. Okay. And next we are coming to the Kama Trikona. This is ruled by air. Now the word Kama again has a lot of connotations. Typically it represents desire. I had spoken earlier about Taurus being the pleasure pain principle, right? And that word is typically linked to desire a lot more. Okay. But we come to the Trama Trikona in astrology, and the way it is defined is a bit different. Kama here essentially means interaction with others. Is it pleasure to interact with others all the time across? I don't know if the word Kama in an astrological sense exactly conveys that. I don't think it conveys that. It generally represents all types of interactions with things outside of us. Pleasurable interactions, maybe not. But for example, we take the first word, Mithuna. Okay. Mithuna means intercourse or pleasure in intercourse. But Mithuna Rasi does not represent that per se. Mithuna is Gemini. Okay. Coming back to the English version of the word, it represents Gemini. What Gemini typically represents is the mental processes of a person. When you think, right, it is a certain dynamic interaction which is taking place within the context of your brain. Something is there, something is initiated, and there is a connection which is taken place. It's like two polarities within each other have met and some insight has struck you. That's how thought would work as it comes to Gemini. Okay. So Gemini is all about interactions. It has a lot of other connotations also, like working within teams, younger siblings, etc. Somewhere where you have a lot of mental interactions, mental day-to-day tasks, day-to-day routines, a lot of thought processes, all of that comes within Gemini. Then we come to Libra, which is ruled by Shukra or Venus. It is all about giving, yielding and receiving. Okay. Also, the Rasi for intercourse, marriage, relationships, etc. All of that comes under Libra, or the Sanskrit word Tula, balance or the scales. One thing, Ramana, to note is the symbolism of the astrological signs in the Western and the Indian systems are broadly similar. Indians have a certain deeper, it's broadly similar actually. So when we come to Libra, it's all about giving, yielding and taking, receiving. So it's again ruled by Shukra. It is a pleasure of interaction, is how you would put it. You are having a good time with a person, right? The vibrant energy, the vibe given out by the person, and you receiving a vibe and you giving out a vibe, right? This give and take of vibe, all of that comes from Libra.
So how is this different from what you had described for, say, Gemini, where okay. I think the point was that there is a mental simulation happening as a result of interaction.
Right. I would come to, again, pleasure versus mental. Okay. You could have a good discussion, a chat, if you will, with a friend. But in a relationship, it's more about the energy and the vibe with the other person, right? So they're different interactions altogether, right? Libra is a lot more personalized in terms of what vibe the person gives you. Okay. We'll come to in the next episode when we talk of gunas, okay, of the different Rashis, we will come to what it means of the different gunas. So wouldn't you say that chatting and going for a date are very different experiences?
Right.
Okay. So let's say if Gemini is more
Gemini.
Chatting would be Gemini, while going on a date would be Libra. Okay, So the mood, the vibrant, the ambience, the experience, all of that would come more into Libra. Okay. Finally, we come to Aquarius, Kumbha. This represents our mass interactions, our friendships, again, not exactly in a conversation sense. Let's not put it as friendships, rather different interactions, income, our flow in society, if you will. What are the type of people we interact with, how close we are with them, etc. So all of that comes within Aquarius. And Aquarius is ruled by Saturn. Some people give Rahu, or in the Western system, Rahu is known as a North Node. Some people call give a rulership to Rahu also, because we spoke earlier about Capricorn in the Artha Trikona, and we said that that is also ruled by Saturn. Aquarius is also ruled by Saturn, but it is more dynamic in the sense of it represents entire society. If Capricorn represents a corporation of Saturn with structured, stable systems, Aquarius represents society as a whole, nature as a whole, all of that, and it's completely neutral and flowing, right? All of that comes within Aquarius. Yeah.
So what do you mean by ruled by Saturn, or like ruled by an XYZ planet? What does that actually mean in this context?
Okay. Ruled by a planet is, there are certain psychological mechanisms, right? Or even archetypes, if you build conceptual models, you build as a planet, right? It is like the zodiac sign is a model of all of that, which is the planet is expressing itself maybe through the zodiac sign. Okay. It's like ownership is like, the planet is just being itself in different ways. So you have four states for each planet. Interesting that you mentioned this. So I will come to that. Most planets except the sun and the moon own two rashis. So they are in two different states, ownership, two types of ownership they have.
And okay. Sorry, yeah. I have to interrupt here. That so when you are saying that all planets except the sun and the moon, so what's the meaning of the word planet in the first place? I mean, because sun and the moon are not planets in the context of the general science, right?
Yeah.
So what do you mean by planets and... Yeah, and then what does it mean to be ruled by a planet?
Okay, good question. This is a fundamental question which you should have started with, I guess. Okay, we come to the zodiac. We've talked about the zodiac. We will now talk about the planets as well. Okay, think of it this way. A planet is something in an astrological context, is something which has influence on our lives. We are connected with it. You could argue it's part of a system, or we are all connected together, however you wish to view it. Okay. And they're not planets in the conventional sense. In the Indian astrological sense, we use also up to Saturn. There are different rules for it. Some people, Uranus, because the orbit of, say, Uranus around the sun is 84 years, while Neptune is around 195 years, and Pluto is around 220 to 220 years or so. And these are beyond typical human lifespans. So we consider planets up to Saturn. Okay. So the planets like Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Okay, these are the planets in the celestial bodies which we consider. We also take sun to be a planet because we look at it as a celestial body which has influence on us. Okay, definitely now that you mentioned this, the next topic will be about planets and their significations. In the next podcast should definitely be around that, and we'll look at it in more detail. The sun is considered to be one of the celestial bodies which have influence on that. The moon is considered to be a celestial body which has influence on us. We often notice, right? I mean, if you were to look at it, the moon has influence on the tides of the earth, right? Water on the earth but you see high tide and low tide coming because of the moon's position on a day-to-day basis. We also have our body, our very matter is 72% water, right? So definitely, even though we don't perceive it, celestial bodies do have an influence on how we react two different situations on the world. We come to the heart of what is astrology in itself. The closest explanation I can come for is at our birth time, we resonate, we are a part of the celestial resonance at that particular point in time, and this gives, and we are resonating with that point in time. That's how I would interpret why astrology works. Okay. And definitely these are different planets, and all of this comes together. And that's how we have the different planets which interact with us. And as you mentioned, Ramana, I think I mentioned, okay, finally, in Indian system, we use two points, imaginary points called Rahu Ketu as well. In the Western system, they're known as North Node Rahu and South Node Ketu as well. Okay, they're imaginary points in the intersection of the orbit of the Sun and the Moon around Earth. Okay, they represent a certain connect of how, fundamentally, don't you see a lot of randomness around excitation, right? Why do, let's take a body nerve, why do certain neurons get excited and certain neurons become less active over time? Okay, so the dynamic random variable of the cosmos is depicted by Rahu, while the deactivating detachment which we face is represented by Ketu. This is a psychological function of Rahu and Ketu. Okay, but in a purely physical sense, they represent certain imaginary orbits, points calculated between the Sun and Moon's relative motion.
So, I'm sorry, Rahu is for randomness. Ketu is signifying what?
Detachment, cutting off, getting cut off, right? So, certain thoughts become inhibited, right? There's no excitement. You just become detached. Okay. So the detachment is Ketu.
Right.
Okay. And okay. Ramana Shami, now go to the Moksha Trikona or anything else you would want to ask me?
No. We can move ahead.
Okay. And finally, we come to the Moksha Trikona. And the Moksha Trikona is, the word Moksha in India has got words like liberation, etc. Those are the typical meanings associated with it. Okay, in an astrological sense, again, the meaning is somewhat different. We look at Moksha as something in which everything gets dissolved inside. Okay. So all of my actions, all of it is regulated by something, right? It acts like a certain control mechanism, okay? Moksha in the most cosmic sense is represented by the sign Pisces, where everything gets dissolved. In the Indian system, it's a word called Pralaya, complete dissolution of entire creation. Pisces represents this the most, okay? It represents the most conventional description of Moksha where everything gets dissolved. We next go to Cancer, which is ruled by the Moon. Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, just to clarify. Cancer is ruled by the Moon, which is all about emotional regulation. Now, all of our actions, we have a certain conscience which comes up, right? Okay. We have something by which our actions are automatically regulated. It is our emotional rhythms which we have been brought up with. And that regulation takes place is also considered to be part of the Moksha Trikona. It's something in which our actions get dissolved into it. Okay. We then have Scorpio, which is all about the life force, which is all about life longevity. Okay. It's ruled by Mars. It's all about when life gets dissolved. Okay. Your life force, your individuality, what happens at death? Our individual identity gets dissolved completely in it, right? Okay. So that's what happens after that, and that's why death is also a dissolving school or moksha or part of the Moksha Trikona. The Moksha Trikona is represented by water. The property of water is to dissolve, and these are the different ways in which the different dissolving takes place within a person.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
Ramana, tell me.
So, you've given a description of the 12 sun signs, right? Now, how does that relate to...
signs. I will make the distinction. 12 zodiac signs. Sun signs represents that at the time of birth, the sun was at that particular zodiac with respect to the earth. Right. Okay, I hope that was clear. It's like when you're looking from Earth, right, and you're looking at, say, in January, okay, the sun will be in Capricorn. Okay, so this is an approximation from in terms of the zodiac is like the space around Earth. Okay, well, each planet is in a different point around the Earth. Okay, and sun is in Capricorn in January. That's what the sun sign means. Okay, so zodiac signs are more fundamental. The sun signs is a description of where the sun is at a particular point in time.
Right. Huh. So that's what I wanted to actually get onto, which is that how now you've given this description of the 12 zodiac signs.
Right.
How does
right.
that relate to when it comes to the prediction that you or the analysis that you try to make about a given individual's traits, those aspects? How does it relate with the 12 zodiac signs that you have just explained?
Ramana, good topic. You're basically trying to ask me is, how does astrology work? I mean, basically with regard to this. So you're right, we will have to go detail into the mechanism. I think the next session when we deal with the planets, we will come on to this topic. Okay.
Sure.
For now, I think we will conclude this session on the Purusharthas and the Zodiac. Okay. With some discussions on the working of astrology. That is what we've summed up in this session. We will now move to the next session, which will deal with the role of the planets, the signification of the planets, and what does astrology mean? How does prediction take place? Or how does psychology occur? Or how are we connected? These are things which we'll take up in the next episode. Thanks a lot, Ramana. Thanks a lot for your help. And definitely, we will post out this video today. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.